You know that feeling when you watch an airplane taxi by and you just know it was built right? There's something about the 757, that long, narrow fuselage, those Rolls-Royce RB211 fans hanging under a wing that was drawn for speed. Boeing stopped building them back in 2004. And here we are more than two decades later, and the industry is tearing seats out of these things as fast as conversion shops can take them. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight, from first solo to airline transport pilot. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So, let's talk about what's happening with this F-757, because the headline doesn't tell the whole story. Right now, there are several major conversion programs running worldwide, turning passenger 757s into dedicated freighters. We're talking about the 200 series and the 300 series, the stretched variant. Companies like Precision Aircraft Solutions, ST Engineering, and others have developed supplemental type certificates to strip these jets down, cut a main deck cargo door into the fuselage, reinforce the floor, and send them back out as package haulers. And the demand is enormous. Here's why. The 757 sits in a sweet spot that nothing else on the market can touch. It carries roughly 15 containers on the main deck of a Dash 200 conversion that puts it right between the narrow-body 737 freighter and the wide-body 767 freighter. For an express cargo operator, for an e-commerce integrator, for the companies that move your overnight packages, that middle capacity is exactly what they need on medium-range domestic routes. But it's more than just volume. The 757 has legs. A converted Dash 200 freighter can cover roughly 3,000 nautical miles with a full cargo load. That means you can fly coast to coast in the United States. You can link major distribution hubs without a fuel stop. Try doing that in a 737-800 freighter, you'll get there, but you're giving up payload to carry the gas. And then there's the runway performance. The 757 was designed from the start with powerful engines on a relatively light airframe. Eastern Airlines and British Airways wanted an airplane that could operate out of LaGuardia and London Gatwick, airports with shorter runways and noise restrictions. So Boeing gave it more thrust per pound than almost anything in its class. That means a 757 freighter can operate into secondary airports, the smaller facilities closer to distribution centers where a widebody simply cannot go. Now, you might ask, why not just build a new airplane to fill this role? And this is where it gets really interesting for anyone who watches the industry. Boeing has talked about a 757 replacement for years, decades really. The so-called new midsize airplane, or NMA, was supposed to be that jet. Boeing shelved it, then the MAX crisis consumed all the engineering oxygen in the building. Airbus has the A321, which is a fine airplane, but the freighter conversion market for those is just getting started, and the available pool of used A321s is not nearly as deep or as cheap as the 757 fleet that's aging out of passenger service. So, the economics work out beautifully for conversion. You take a 25 to 30-year-old airframe that an airline is retiring from passenger routes. The airplane has tens of thousands of hours left in its structural life. You invest several million dollars in the conversion, and you've got a freighter that will fly for another 15 or 20 years. Compare that to the price tag of a brand new purpose-built freighter, which you cannot even order in this size class, and the math is obvious. Here's what you need to know about who's flying these things. FedEx has been a massive 757 operator. So has UPS. DHL uses them in their network, but it's not just the big three integrators anymore. Smaller cargo operators, charter freight companies, even government contractors are snapping up converted 757s because the airplane does something nothing else available can do. The e-commerce boom accelerated all of this. When the pandemic hit in 2020, belly cargo capacity on passenger flights disappeared almost overnight. Airlines parked their fleets, and suddenly there weren't enough freighters to move goods. That bottleneck pushed conversion demand through the roof, and the 757 was the prime candidate. Relatively cheap to acquire, well understood by mechanics worldwide, and parts availability is still strong thanks to the massive global fleet. Now there's a clock ticking. These airframes are not getting any younger. The oldest 757s date back to 1983. Even the newest ones rolled off the line in 2004. At some point, fatigue cycles and calendar age will catch up. The conversion shops are focused on the younger, lower cycle airframes, the ones that were well maintained by major carriers. But the pool is finite. Every year, the number of viable candidates shrinks. For those of us in general aviation, why should you care? A couple of reasons. First, the 757 freighter story is a lesson in how the aviation market actually works. The best airplane for a job is not always the newest one. Sometimes it's the one that was overbuilt 30 years ago and still has life left in its bones. Sound familiar? We fly Cessna 170s and Piper Cherokees from the 1960s and 70s for the same reason. A well-designed airframe outlasts the assumptions people made when it was new. Second, these freighter conversions affect the airports you fly into. When FedEx or an e-commerce operator starts running 757 freighters into a secondary field, that airport gets investment. Better instrument approaches, improved lighting, sometimes runway extensions. That benefits everyone who uses that field. And third, watch the maintenance and parts market. As long as 757s are flying freight, the engine shops and parts suppliers keep those lines open. That means continued support for the Rolls-Royce RB211 and the Pratt & Whitney PW2000 series power plants. If you fly anything that shares components or maintenance expertise with those engines, the supply chain stays healthier longer. The 757 is proof that Boeing got something deeply right in the early 1980s. They built an airplane that was too good for its original mission to ever truly retire. The passengers may be gone, but the airframe found a second career that might last longer than the first one. Sources today include Simple Flying and industry reporting from Aviation Week. More at RadioHangar.com. I'm Tower. Fly smart out there.